A wonderful truth. Thank you so much, Jared, for that. We all should make our boast in Jesus. That's all that we need to do. Certainly can't boast in ourselves, for sure. Psalms chapter 27, if you would, please. Psalms chapter number 27. We will today look at the delight of the fear of the Lord, or you could say the rewards of a proper fear. I've been in a study on the fear of God. Let's just do a little bit of review. You tired of hearing this yet? You can't be yet, okay? So let's look at a couple of things today. We're going to look at the rewards. We'll look at Psalms 27 here in just a minute. You guys could go to the next one. Remember, we're studying this for three primary reasons. It's a missing ingredient in society today. It's a missing ingredient in churches today. It's a missing ingredient in our homes today, right? So that's the primary reason why we're studying this. Then we looked at a number of things already in this fear study. And we first looked at the definition of fear as they move to the next slide there. And we talked about we must consciously pursue the fear of the Lord. It was the discovery of the fear of the Lord. We looked at the duty of the fear of the Lord. We must continually inspect our lives for those qualities we gave you that point to the fear of the Lord. Then the last couple of weeks, we've looked at the dangers of the fear of the Lord. We must learn to recognize the dangers and deal with the wrong kind of fear. We primarily looked at the fear of man in that process. And then today we're going to begin, or hopefully finish, might be a little while, but hopefully finish, the light of the fear of the Lord. Honor God with proper fear. He notices. God notices when we have a proper fear of Him. When we do things God's way, there's always reward. Maybe not here on earth, but many times it is here on earth. God rewards those who honor Him. Some of these rewards we're going to talk about today will be seen in the negative. You're like, wait a minute. How can a reward be negative? Well, that depends on your side of it. Now, we'll see some things that God offers for us that's against someone else, if you will. The Persian king Frederick the Great was widely known as an agnostic. By contrast, General von Zeelin, one of his most trusted officers, was a devout Christian. Thus it was that during a festive gathering, the king began making crude jokes about Christ until everyone was rocking with laughter. All but von Zeelin, that is. Finally, he arose and addressed the king. "Sire, you know I have not feared death. I have fought and won 38 battles for you. I am an old man. I shall soon have to go into the presence of one greater than you, the mighty God who saved me from my sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you are blaspheming. I salute you, sire, as an old man who loves his Savior on the edge of eternity." The place went silent, and with a trembling voice, the king replied, "General von Zeelin, I beg your pardon. And with that, the party quietly ended. When we choose to honor God, God will recognize that honor. You must realize that God never loses sight of those who honor Him. You must honor Him through the proper fear of Him. Psalms 27, verse 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry. With my voice have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsook me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I wish we had time to really dissect this entire passage and go back and look at the number of things we've talked about fear and how it's rooted in this passage in a lot of ways. But I thought this was a good place for us to jump off this morning, if you will. So I want us to look at a number of things that come as a result of the proper fear of God. Number one, I want us to see, first off, protection. Protection. We see that in this passage here. Whom shall I fear? What am I to be afraid of? God, you're here. What do I have to be afraid of? 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 20. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of a good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even thy God, even my God will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. In this case, he's saying when a proper fear of God allows us to not have the wrong kind of fear. Don't fear. Just do it. Courage, the lack of wrong kind of fear, comes from a proper view of our God and who he is. When fear is properly placed on God, it removes improper fear. In Psalms chapter 23 and verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Psalms 27 and verse 1, the verse we just read, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Verse 3 of this same passage, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. God's protection. During his years as premier of the Soviet Union, Khrushchev denounced many of the policies and atrocities of Joseph Stalin. Once he censored Stalin in a public meeting, Khrushchev was interrupted by a shout from a heckler in the audience. You were one of Stalin's colleagues. Why didn't you stop him? Who said that? Roared Khrushchev. An agonizing silence followed as nobody in the room dared move a muscle. Then Khrushchev quietly replied, now you know why. Now you know why. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. When God has his eye on us, it boisters our hope. It allows us to hope in God. Psalms 33 and verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Psalms 34 and verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Psalms 56 and verse 4, in God will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. You see that link between trust and fear again. Psalms 115 and verse 11, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. Proverbs 14:26, and the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. By the way, God can put a fear on others because of us. The Bible talks a great deal about that, just a couple of places. Genesis chapter 35 and verse 5, and they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. God said, nope, you're not going to do that, and I'm afraid what's going to happen to you. And the people listened. In Psalms 91 and verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. God offers his protection. Now, it's important for us to understand that that protection doesn't mean that nothing's ever going to happen to us. Job demonstrates that, and we're going to see the story of Job here in just a minute. But it does mean that we can trust God completely. Do you have the protection of God based on the proper fear of Him? That doesn't mean we have to be foolish, but we certainly shouldn't operate in fear. That's been bantered about a lot in here, hasn't it, in our world in the last few months. Certainly we are to be wise. Certainly we are to heed warnings when they come, but we should not operate our lives based on fear. God's protection is one of the benefits. But number two, we see His punishment. Oh, wait a minute. That's a benefit? Well, it depends on what side of it's on, you're on. It can fall on those, in other words, who do not serve God. Now, this may sound like an odd delight, but God will deal with those who may do wrong to us. Therefore, it's a benefit for us. It's a delight for us when God avenges, if you will. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse 10, "And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat." 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 29, "And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries." Psalms 53 and verse 5, There were they in great fear where no fear was, for God has scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame because God hath despised them." In that passage, God says, look, there was great fear where people weren't prone to fear because of what God was doing. Jeremiah 48 verse 43, "Fear and the pit and the snare shall be upon thee, O thou inhabitants of Moab." Jeremiah 49 and verse 24, "Damascus is waxed feeble and turned herself to flee, and fear hath seized on her. Anguish and sorrows have taken her as a woman in travail." This is, we've talked about this in a number of times, but it's important for us to understand that the wrong kind of fear causes us to make bad choices. The proper fear causes us to look at God and His Word and who He is and how does He want me to respond to this situation. And when we have that proper balance of fear with God, then it produces a courage to do what otherwise seems impossible. It produces a courage that allows John and Betty Stamm, knowing that a sword is about to chop their head off, to proclaim their God anyway. It's that kind of courage. Now the fact is, even this punishment can be good for us. What is the purpose of punishment? Is it to be cruel and mean and so forth? The purpose of punishment is to be correct, to be corrected. Pastor Shrett dealt with that a little bit last week. One of our grandchildren learned a very valuable lesson this week, a very painful, valuable lesson. We had one of our grandchildren break their toe this week, pretty severely. And two things that child did that their father had specifically told them not to do or to do. So the first one was, don't do this without shoes on. The child did that without shoes on, number one. Number two, don't do that in the house. So the child did not have shoes on, did it in the house, and as a result, broke the toe really painfully. We got a picture last night, man. It's still swollen and all black and blue and so forth. Do you know what the daddy of this child, first thing they said to them was, "Daddy told you this was going to happen. This was the reason why I warned you not to do these things. Had you not done this in the house, then your toe probably wouldn't have caught the door jam. And if you'd had shoes on, it wouldn't have mattered." See? Now, none of us like to have a stubbed toe or whatever else God does to us, but it's good for us. It's good for us. Most of us don't walk around going, oh, when's my next spanking? I can't wait. But it's still good for us to get that because then we are corrected by a loving God. When you have the proper fear of God, then you can know that God will deal with your enemies and with you in a right sense. Number three, the third area is perfection. Now we could go a different way with this. We could have said perception here. I chose to go with perfection. I'm not saying that you're going to be sinless, but I am saying that we can make choices in every single moment of time and live a holy life. Did you get that? In other words, God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." So we can make choices. Every time we come to a sin choice, we have a choice. That's what Romans 6 says. The gospel allowed us to say no to sin. So therefore, in a practical sense, you and I can make good choices over and over and over again. Do we? A lot of times we fail at that, don't we? 2 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse 9 says, "And he charged him, saying, Thus shall you do in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a perfect heart." Psalms 19 and verse 9, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Now, this morning, I don't have time to go through the entire book of Job, okay? But let's just say that the conflict between Satan and God was rooted in the idea of Job's perfection, if you will, and his fear of God. As a matter of fact, Job chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught?" And then, of course, he makes an accusation against the motives by which Job is operating. God said of Job, "Have you considered my servant Job, one that escheweth evil, is perfect and upright?" In Job 9, Job is talking and he recognizes that God is not like us. And Job should not speak to him as a man. Job, however, doesn't want to fear in a terrifying way, but he's struggling with God's hand being on him. Won't you notice what he says in Job 9:35? "Let him take his rod away from me, and let not his fear terrify me." Excuse me. "Then would I speak and not fear him, but it is not so with me." Do you see that balance of Job saying, "Look, I know what God's hand is on me. I don't want to have a terrifying relationship with God, but though I should fear him, I don't understand what all God's doing." Bildad recognizes that fear is a right response to God. He says in 25 and verse 2, "Dominion and fear are with him. He maketh peace in his high places." There's not a lot that we can say about those guys that they got right. Job speaks about an improper fear in Job 31. "Did I fear a great multitude? Or did I contempt of families? Did the contempt of families terrify me that I kept silence and went not out of the door? Oh, that one would hear me. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me and that my adversary had written a book." Job said, "Did I operate in the wrong kind of fear? No. But I sure wish God would tell me what he's doing." You ever been there? I think if you're honest, all of us at one point or another would have to say, "God, I trust you. I know you know what you're doing, but what are you doing?" You know, sometimes God does something to us because he has something for us. And we don't always understand that. I remember a particular time where my wife and I had planned a fun day for our kids. And there was two events on the calendar, but our kids didn't know that. They only knew about the first event when we got close enough to it. And we got there, and of course, it was fantastic. I mean, it was a great day. Well, we left this one event earlier than we needed to because we had event two planned, but they didn't know about event two. And so when we said, "We got to go," they're like, but Daddy, we still got time. And do we have to?" "Yes, we have to go." You're like, "You're a meanie. Couldn't you tell them there was something else planned?" "No, it was a surprise." I just said to them, "Do you trust Daddy?" "Well, yeah, but we got to go. Come on." Get in the car. It's kind of somber on that until we pull into parking lot of event two. And my kid said, are we? Like, is this? Oh, I mean, there was a kind of stuttering in the back seat. And I said, yes. And then the screams and the delights and the giggles and all that kind of stuff, you know. And you probably haven't giggled with God lately. But can I tell you something? Sometimes he withholds something from us, or he removes us from a situation because he has something better for us. Yes, Brother Steve, that'd be great. A proper fear of God doesn't answer all our questions, but it does give us a proper perspective. Thank you. It gives us a proper perspective. Now, did Job get all his questions answered? It's an interesting dialogue to look at the stories at the end of the book of Job. What does God say to Job? For several chapters, he basically says to Job, okay, Job, let me ask you a question. Where were you when this happened? Where were you when this happened? Job, where's all the snow of the earth kept? And Job, what about this? And Job, do you know when the goats are supposed to calve? And Job, do you? And he listed all this kind of stuff. And when he got done, Job figured it was done with him asking questions. Because the fact is, God is in control. God is sovereign. He does know exactly what he's doing. And in the midst of something where I think, God, I can't see this, he knows what he's doing. Again, we see the perfection. God has a perfect plan for our life. How is your perspective impacted by the fear of God? Number four, we see the fourth thing is prestige. When fear is in the right place, it comes with honor. Notice what he says in Psalms 15 and verse 4. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He honoreth them that fear the Lord. The word honoreth there carries the idea of to be weighty. It speaks of glory. It would be appropriate to translate this. He glorifies them that fear the Lord. Wow. He doesn't share his glory with anyone, the Word of God says. Yet he is going to glorify us if we will live in the fear of God. Amazing. This is not necessarily the prestige of the world, but the world will pass away. The world says a person that can be vile in every other way but is a great athlete is okay. God says a man may not have a great physical physique, but if he walks with God, I'm going to honor him in all kinds of ways. Are you okay with the honor that God gives? Do you know what I find myself doing sometimes? I sometimes trade the honor that God wants to give for a temporal honor. And it's worthless. Let me ask you a question. I may get in trouble here because I have no idea what the answer is going to be. But how many of you that played sports in high school still have your trophies displayed in your house? How many? Sports in high school, you still have your trophies displayed in your house. Anybody? That's what I thought. I thought maybe there might be a weirdo out there that still does. The one, if there was a hand like that, that was that way, I figured it was probably a single guy, not someone that was married. And no, Bob, I don't believe Diane has hers displayed either. Do you know what the truth is? Do you know where my trophies are? You're like, wow, you won trophies? I did. You want me to bring them next week? No. I did. Do you know where they are? They're in a box in the attic. With there's no telling what else is in that box. You know, an attic has other things living up there, right? Because it's temporal. And yet sometimes we trade the glory that God wants to give us for that which is temporal. Prestige. Number five, provision. God promises to provide for us. Psalms 34 and verse 9, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Proverbs 22 and verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Luke 12 and verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Our college students are back, and we're grateful to see you back. Some of you may have paid that first bill, and you don't have a clue how the second bill is getting paid. And maybe you've paid the first bill, and you don't know how the books are going to be bought. Can I just tell you something? God pays for what He orders. Every time. Now listen, it's not always how you and I want it paid for. See, the way we like it to be done is boom, there you go, God. Right at the beginning of the semester, drop the whole bill, and then I'm done for the rest of the semester. Now, God doesn't work that way. Matter of fact, in my life, do you know how God's typically worked? At the very last second. And in my case, sometimes late. Now, you understand, God's never late. I'm just talking about my timetable. You know, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. No, you don't need that right now. Oh, yes, I do. I remember specifically one day having this conversation with God. I know. Yeah, Dale, you lose those every time, don't we? And I said, God, I don't have any money, and I need some gas. So, like, I need you to provide something, like, now. And he's like, you don't need money right now. And I'm like, yes, I do. How much gas do you have in your tank? Well, I have a half a tank. Well, then you don't need gas. I'm like, well, but God, you don't understand. See, like, in this and this and this, well, when this and this and this happens, I can give you gas. But right now, you don't need gas. Why? Because we'll get full and forget that we know God. That's what God says. I'll never forget a time when we were in the Marine Corps and we were very poor. If you want to honor someone who needs raises, it's our military. Okay, just in case you're wondering. As a private, I made $563 a month. Okay. And I know some of you older people probably didn't make that much, but nevertheless, at the time, that was not enough salary to support my family. And then those of you guys that have served in the military, if you've ever been overseas, the military has a real good way of goofing up your pay back and forth from overseas. Isn't that right, Brother Jason? Okay? And when you're overseas, you get this special duty pay, and you get this, and you get that. And, well, I didn't pay attention to all that stuff. We come home, and we don't know when it's going to phase out that you're not supposed to get this pay. And so anyway, through a process of events, they had overpaid me. I didn't know that because we were still trying to figure out. We were cycling back from overseas. I'd spent 6 months overseas. And so the day that I was to get a paycheck, they said, oh, by the way, we've overpaid you. And today you're only getting a half a paycheck. No. They said, today you're getting no paycheck. And next paycheck, you're getting a half of one. I'm like, well, thank you. By the way, if they owe you money, good luck with that. But if you owe them money, they're taking it now. They didn't care anything. So we were, the gas light on our little car was already on. And I thought, well, Lord, we've done everything we can do. We have no money because there's no paycheck coming. And church came. What are you going to do? Well, we decided to go to church. Because that's what God told us to do. So we went to church. Gas still on. Driving back and forth to work. Gas light still on. I'm like, Lord, 2 weeks, a long time. Visitation night comes. By now, I'm getting a little more bold. I'm like, we're going on visitation. We'll volunteer to drive, amen. You know, just, I mean, we went to visitation. We went to every service and visitation. We just went. I will never forget the day that paycheck hit the bank again. I pulled into a gas station, and when I pulled in, the car cut off on gas. God was like, I got this covered. You just honor me, and I'll take care of that. Do you fear God enough to trust Him for your provision? Even when the timing is not what you think it should be, do you trust Him with your provision? Number 6, a pleasure from God. A pleasure from God. The Bible says in Psalms 147, verse 11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him. Do you let that sink in for a minute? God takes pleasure in those that fear Him. And there's tons that God talks about this. Number one, it can bring mercy. Again, Psalms 103, verse 11, for as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. Verse 17 of that same passage. Do you want God's mercy? Fear him. It can bring pity. You're like, wait, I don't know what I do. Pity me. Well, the word pitieth in Psalms 103, verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. The word pitieth there means to love deeply, to have mercy. Do you want that from God? Be compassionate, have tender affection. Wait a minute. I want that kind of pity from God. I want deep love. I want compassion. I want that from God. Fear him. It can bring desires. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. Psalms 145 and verse 19. What kind of desires do you have today? It can bring long life. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. You can be happy. Proverbs 28:14. Happy is the man that feareth alway. Can bring healing. Malachi 4 and verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as the calves of the stall. Can I ask you a question? How many people in America today, if you ask them a survey, would want that list in their life? They're clamoring for it. You can have it. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. It's directly tied to these things. Are you looking for God's pleasure? Fear him. Fear him. Are there things in this list that you would love to have? Fear him. Number 7, the presence of God. The presence of God. How precious is God's presence to us? You remember what it was like as a little kid to be afraid and to come up close to your dad? Now, you know as an adult now, all the kids close their ears for a minute. You know as an adult that there are some things daddy couldn't prevent anyway, but you didn't know that then. Just being next to him was okay. Just getting up close there, hiding behind his legs or whatever. God's presence. I've told you the story of me being scared living in a little trailer that cracked and all that kind of stuff. And every night getting out and looking down the hallway for whatever boogeyman was going to be there. Can I tell you the verse my mama took me to over and over again? As a matter of fact, it was my favorite verse growing up. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, will I uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Verse 13 of that same passage says, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. I believe it was when our third child was born, Rebecca. Lisa had all C-sections. And this hospital was a little unique in that typically I was in there very early in the process, but for some reason, this hospital, I was in there very late. I don't think I was in the room more than 2 or 3 minutes when Rebecca was born. So they were already deep into the surgery when that was happening. And of course, she was concerned about all this was happening. And if I got this story right, I didn't check this with her before the service, but a nurse was there or something that wanted to do something with her hand. And she said to him, as long as you don't get in the way of my right hand, because God's on my right hand. And I know that's somewhat figurative, but it illustrates the point. God is there. His presence is with us. Isaiah 43 and verse 5, fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. How precious is his presence to you? Do you need his presence? Do you need his presence? Fear him. It comes with that. Number 8, and lastly, the promises of God. He remembers those who fear him. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought on his name. You ever forget an event? Or something that was supposed to happen, and it's like, oh. I didn't ask him if I could share this. He probably won't mind because I'm the bad one in the deal. But a couple of years ago, Randy Spencer and I were supposed to have breakfast. He remembered. It was several days before I remembered. And I was like, oh, I did not want to write that text. And I said, Randy, were we supposed to have breakfast a couple days ago? And were you there? Yes and yes. God, I am so sorry. What do you do? Buy him breakfast next time? Of course, at least that, right? I felt horrible. You forget. God doesn't forget us that fear him. Susanna texted my wife yesterday and said, this is how we have the setup over there. Where would you like to put the drinks, the coffee drinks and so forth? And we're like, right, coffee drinks. Yep. I did say we were going to get those, didn't we? So guess what we did yesterday? We drove to Sam's Club because I didn't have the coffee drinks here. Whose fault was it? Mine. I forgot. That's what my thing. It wasn't what I planned on Saturday, but hello, you guys had coffee drinks today, so be thankful because she said, water will do fine. No, it won't do fine. We forget. God never forgets. God never forgets. He's got a book of remembrance of those that fear him. That missionary that died in the jungle with very little or no converts and nobody's ever heard of before, God knows. God remembers. Your fear of God demonstrated in daily life will be remembered by God. So the question is for us, will we be remembered by God? If you'll receive the rewards, then you must fear God in the proper way. That's it. It's all these things come as a result of us fearing God. God will never lose sight of you. There's a story of a family whose house caught fire. I thought of Bob, your son, in this story. As each parent tried to grab a few belongings in a child's hand to get out of the house as quickly as possible, a little daughter who was holding the father's hand broke free from his grip and ran upstairs to get her teddy bear. However, when trying to come down again, she found that she was trapped by the enveloping flames. She therefore ran to the upstairs window and shouted for her father's help. The father shouted back, "Jump down, I will catch you." Since she couldn't see her father clearly through the smoke, the little girl cried, "I'm scared to jump, Daddy, I can't see you." The father replied, "Don't worry, honey. You just jump. I'm right here under you. I will catch you. Although you can't see me, I can see you." Do you remember the story in Job where Job says, "I've looked on my left hand and on my right hand, and he's not there, and I can't find him. But by faith, he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." The proper fear of God results in the delight of God in our lives. If we'll let him, if we'll properly fear him, he longs to give these things to us. Our Father, how grateful we are for your precious word. It's so rich and so powerful, so encouraging, so convicting. May our hearts be in tune with you. Lord, it's so easy for us to forget that we should walk in the fear of God all the time. And yet we'd love to have this list. We'd love to be protected by you. We'd love to have prestige. We'd love to have your promises. We'd love for you never to forget us. We'd love to have provision. All those things are true, and yet we need those things. We want those things, and yet we have them if we will properly fear you. May we do that. As we embark on a new week, as we have questions that we don't understand, of family members that are hurting or we don't know what's going to happen with them, may we walk in your fear and trust you in the process. Would you work? We pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed, they're going to begin to quietly pray. As she does, can I just challenge you either there in your seat, or would you come? Just bow here and say, God, I needed the reminder of those things. That particular thing right there. God, I've been begging you for provision. God, I've been begging you for protection. God, I've been, whatever it may be, and yet, Lord, I've tried to go about it my own way instead of trusting in the fear of God. Would you respond to him? Trusting as the moments fly. Trusting as the days go by. Will you trust him? We just surrender to him.